With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your sports bros. Hello, folks.
Sada.
Rob here. Souk over there.
So indeed.
Coming up, the club hour. I have the real reason more women are cheating on their husbands.
Ooh.
You know, that number is skyrocketing.
You guys starting to get a little nervous over there, you two?
Well, if I'm being honest.
Look, no river is long enough that doesn't contain a bend. Lynch is going to be like, never.
Mike will be in denial even after it happens.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Tell you what,
that's
man.
That's what they all say, Mike, right?
That's right. They all say that.
Never going to happen.
It's happening more and more with women stepping out on men, and there's an interesting reason why.
They want to be as sleazy as we are?
No, that's not it.
Women are way better than men.
No question.
It's not even close.
But they're finally going, well, wait a minute.
Something's up here.
I like this. This is fun. So, hey, we'll get to that. Club hour is from 6 to 7, but all business this hour, folks. I mean, you will never hear a show that is more about business than this one from 5 to 6.
Hey, I'll tell you what. We have been more sportsy today.
Well, it's a Monday.
Than we've been in a long, long time. I don't think we've ventured off topic once.
Tell you what, man. We are tight today. You're right.
We are. I'm going to edit myself there. I had something that was going to come out and then...
First time for everything.
Yeah.
Everything has to be tight.
Yeah, so hey, listen. 5:15, college football weekend recap. Plenty to discuss. 5:30, NFL weekend recap. Right now, Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Coors Light. When things get hot, cool off with a frost-brewed Coors Light. Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on.
Number five.
Number five.
Colin Kaepernick has filed a lawsuit against the National Football League.
Yeah, he's going to file a collusion lawsuit. And I'm kind of reading through this. I've read a couple different legal experts on this. And while not many people give him a good chance to win, there seems to be plenty of people think that he could have a legitimate case here. So basically, he just needs to prove that the NFL owners are collectively preventing him from having a job. And if he does win this, he would basically say that he would win two times the amount of future earnings. And they even said that could be interesting, because what would constitute future earnings? His past contract? Is it league minimum? No one really knows. So they're saying this is kind of a lot of gray areas involved in this. But a lot of people do think that this is the end of his career with the filing of this, that if he wasn't, if he wasn't employable before now, he certainly is not doing himself any favors.
Other news regarding sports controversies. Rick Pitino has been voted out at Louisville. The board of governors there, they voted to fire him with cause. And Houston Nutt, remember that whole thing with Ole Miss?
Yeah.
They've reached a settlement. That's interesting.
And by the way, Pitino is seeking $44 plus million. there's going to be a lawsuit there because he's not walking away from that kind of cash.
Also, the NFL Players Association has filed a request to block the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, LaMarcus Aldridge. We were just talking last week. LaMarcus Aldridge talked to Greg Popovich about how he was not happy, how he was being utilized with the Spurs, being all Aldridge-y. Well, today he gets a new deal. 3 years, $72 million with San Antonio.
Yeah, and I guess that third year is only partially guaranteed, but that's still a lot of change. And I was a little surprising to see that with all the turmoil down there. Remember last year there was reports that San Antonio wanted to dump him, but no one wanted the contract. But you re-upped him now and are going to give him 70-plus mil.
So basically, they give him 2 years guaranteed, and then that third year he only gets $7 million guaranteed in that thing. So he's already 32. I mean, you're looking at, you know, mid-30s by the time that deal's over. Major League Baseball tonight, we do have one game. The American League Championship Series continues. This one back in New York, CC Sabathia goes against Charlie Morton. The Astros do have a 2-0 series lead. Now, here's a fun fact. I'm going to go to Mike for this regarding CC Sabathia's numbers this year.
In the last 12 games that he's pitched after a Yankees loss, a team loss, he is 9-0 with like a 1-2 ERA.
Boom.
And CC has been pretty good for him this postseason. In fact, a lot of people, you know, they thought this was it, that he was coming off the books. But a lot of people now kind of maybe saying that CC's got another year or so in him in New York because of the postseason performance.
Number two. Nebraska has a new athletics director. Remember, they fired what's his nuts?
Is it
Eichrist,
I think it was.
Finkel?
No, it wasn't Eichhorn.
Samsonite?
Finkel is Einhorn. I think it was Eichhorst, wasn't it?
Eichhorst, yeah. He's out, so that led everyone to go, well, wait a minute. They're going to probably fire Mike Riley. He's a new AD. Well, it's interesting that the new AD knows Mike Riley well. They have hired former Oregon athletic director Bill Moose from Washington State.
Yeah, and I guess this was something that no one really knew about. I guess he didn't really tell anyone, and it just comes down to money. I mean, he's getting $1 million a year at Nebraska. He almost doubles the salary. There's a lot more tools in the chest at Nebraska.
Not a shock. Really good hire, I think, for Nebraska.
And so, by the way, Mike Riley will be fired. It's just a matter of time now. I mean, I thought he'd be fired maybe this weekend, and Ohio State put the nail in his coffin.
Well, Moose is hired now, and yes. Moose says he doesn't fire coaches mid-season.
So that's
I think Riley will finish it out, but Moose is their new AD, and a lot of people are speculating that maybe Mike Leach could be on his way to Nebraska. I don't think that's true, just because it was a great hiring Leach at Washington State. I don't think he's going to yank Leach over there. I think they're going to shoot bigger.
I know this. There is zero chance that Mike Riley is the Nebraska football coach next year.
So the interim AD at Washington State has been named. It's John Johnson. You know Johnny. Old Johnny J.
I don't know Johnny J.
Should I
know Johnny J?
Well, I don't know. We've probably met him a few times. Hey, sport. How are you? The boss called me sport today.
I know. You were a little thrown off by it.
The big boss.
You should have fired back with a chief or a buddy.
Hey,
maybe
sport.
Maybe a pal.
He patted my head, too.
Hey, tussled.
Rustled my hair.
Hey.
Don't call me buddy, chief.
John Johnson has been named the interim AD at Washington State. He's the former AD at Eastern Washington and at Weber State. They also launched a website up in Pullman where the public can chime in on who they want as AD. That ought to go well. But that's president.wsu/athletic-director.
You want that job? Can we do a write-in vote for?
Nah, I'm good. I like my job with you.
Well, Sprague and Dirt were both talking about this, that I guess Moose twice asked for a contract extension and was told no by the university president.
Why?
I guess there may have been some there may have been some turmoil about the spending and the deficit that was being run by the athletic department.
Hey, you want to win or not?
That Moose wanted to go all in and that maybe some of the purse strings were being held back. But one, they weren't going to match his salary at Nebraska, but Moose graduated from Washington State. He hired Leach. They had some positive momentum going. So certainly Nebraska is a better job than that. You almost double your salary. But I just thought that was interesting that twice he asked for it supposedly today. And I heard that they had turned down. They had not given a contract extension.
And a couple of NFL notes we need to tell you about before we roll here. Aaron Rodgers is out for the season for the Packers because he has elected to have collarbone surgery.
Yeah, so I guess this was more than just a tiny fracture here. And outside of Tom Brady, maybe, I think this is the most significant injury that you could have in the NFL. And already we're starting with the articles being written and people saying that we need to change the way we protect quarterbacks, even though the Anthony Barr hit was 100% legal and it wasn't even that vicious a hit.
Minnesota Vikings will activate Teddy Bridgewater this week. And also Navarro Bowman, member of the Niners, cut him. He signs today with my Oakland Raiders, who are looking terrible. It's a one-year deal.
And by the way, Bridgewater, they've got a couple weeks. I think they've got, is it 21 days to decide?
Yes.
Whether or not to put him on the roster, or you can put him on season-ending IR. So he's got a couple weeks to see. But, I mean, it's amazing that he's even back at this point. He almost lost his leg.
That was August of last year.
Yeah.
When he went down.
It's been a while.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, download the new Coors Light XP app and earn points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and rewards. Even game tickets. Must be 21 or over. Wild weekend in college football. We'll look at it next on The Fan. All right, well, there were no top 25 matchups in college football this weekend, but as we mentioned on Friday, watch out. Sometimes those are the sneakiest weeks because you get real big upsets, and boy, did we have a lot of them.
Well, you had, what, four teams in the top, was it top 10 that all went down? Clemson went down, Washington State went down, Washington, and
Auburn
all went down.
Just shockers, man. Like, especially Washington State and Washington. My God, how bad did they look?
Well, 7 turnovers for Washington State, 5 interceptions. I mean, I don't even know where to begin to talk about the ineptness of that. And just listening to Mike Leach afterwards,
he was blown away.
Yeah, like you could you could not have seen that coming. And not just that, but Cal looked like just a worn out football team. Like, and all of a sudden Cal comes out and gets a shot in the arm, but to have Washington State look that bad, like you kept thinking, okay, because I think it was only what? I mean, it was 17-3 at the half. You're like, all right, come out in the second half, kind of rebound a little bit, shake that off. But they were just in a malaise. They were in a funk that entire game. You could not look any worse. And then, you know, Washington was like, wait, we can't look any worse. Hold my beer. Watch this. Their offense was just as bad. At least their defense showed up and only allowed 13 points. But you know, the two Arizona coaches have saved their jobs with a couple big wins. But if you're Washington State, that was horrific.
Really bad weekend. Well, all around for the Northwest. Oregon State lost again.
Yeah.
And then Oregon.
And you pointed out, though, and you tweeted this out, Oregon State looked better than either any of the three other Pacific Northwest schools, because it's not like Oregon did anything either.
And this is why you can never try to figure out football. Just ride the waves, man. It's like, this stuff jumps up and you're like, wait, what just happened?
Well, you're dealing with 19, 20-year-old kids. And, you know, everyone gets up when you're playing USC. Everyone gets up when you're playing Stanford or if you're, you know, playing Alabama or Ohio State. But is these sneaky games Friday night on the road at Cal? And I guarantee you, Washington State had looked at the last couple weeks of film against Cal and collectively went, they suck and they've quit. And this is an easy game. We're going to go down there and we're going to roll through them. And I've told you this, the hardest thing to do in sports is to flip the switch, to all of a sudden find yourself in a game that you weren't prepared for, that you weren't real excited for, and then to find a way to kind of rally the troops. And Washington State didn't do it.
Yeah, they looked flat. Washington just looked bad.
Yeah.
And then Oregon looked, I thought Oregon looked like they didn't show up.
No, it was by far the worst game we've seen from Oregon.
And how is that? I mean, you're playing at Stanford. I mean, it's a big game.
Yep. Well, and you came out and you ran the ball. You actually ran the ball pretty effectively. You had right around 300 yards rushing. You had three backs that were averaging. The Brooks, James, and Freeman were over 7 yards. And I think Ben Wall was like 5.5. So you ran the ball fairly effectively most of the game. But your passing game put up a Bird or a Jabbar, whichever one you want, 33 yards. I think you attempted 13 passes. Your defense was a sieve, especially in the first half. You couldn't do a damn thing. Penalties were back in a big way. Any sort of momentum you had to start that game, whether it was on special teams or on offense, instantly went away with a dumb, stupid holding penalty. And then you got a block punt. I mean, all three phases were brutal, but you know, for Oregon to look that flat, especially on defense against a Stanford team that had struggled offensively, minus Bryce Love, that was really disappointing to see.
That was bad. This just in, Aaron Judge has struck out again.
Oh, that hasn't happened this postseason, has? Oh, wait. Happens every time he's up.
Yeah, that Herbert or no Herbert, Oregon just looks really bad right now.
Yeah.
So the Oregon-Oregon State thing, it's like, I don't know how much there really is to watch the rest of the way. It's just, I guess Oregon State, they rallied behind Corey Hall. That was nice, but they're not going to win a lot of games the rest of the way. And I don't think Oregon is either unless they get Herbert back. But even with Herbert coming back, they're just, these penalties, they cannot correct the penalties. They're not tight. They're sloppy. And that leads me to a bigger question that I wanted to ask you today, because I was watching two games in particular this weekend that this jumped out at me. Actually, three. I watched a lot of Michigan-Indiana because I had money on Michigan.
Michigan's bad offensive football team, too.
Those bastards screwed me. I mean, they were dominating Indiana, and they let him back in. And it ends up going to overtime. But Michigan is one example. In the Oklahoma-Texas game, I thought Oklahoma was another example. And then in the USC-Utah game, USC is another example. So you've got Michigan, Oklahoma, USC. What is it about these big-time programs that are just so mistake-riddled? And then I watch Kyle Whittingham at Utah. I watched some of Gary Patterson at TCU and have seen many of his games. You look at what Bill Schneider does at Kansas State. You look at some of these coaches who are at lesser schools than the big-time programs, and they just run their teams seem, depending on the coach, so much tighter and so much cleaner, right? And I would put Oregon kind of in the category of the USC, Michigan, Oklahoma, in a sense that they just look sloppy as hell. And I wonder if it is there something to just the caliber of player you get at an Oklahoma, at a Michigan, at a USC. Is that harder to be tighter with that caliber of kid, more fours and five-star kids, than it is going to a Utah or a TCU? Because I know Jim Harbaugh's a good coach.
Yeah.
But holy crap, they had 16 penalties, dude.
Yeah, which, by the way, I think was the most of any Power 5 team that they've had.
I mean,
their
defense is legit. Michigan's defense is legit, but they don't look good. Like, no.
They run the ball well, and they have no. They're a little bit like Oregon in that way. They have no passing game.
Yeah,
I think there's an element to that. I'd have to look at some numbers, but I do know, having talked to some coaches, there's a difference between getting the kids at USC to pay attention and getting the kids at Washington State to pay attention. I absolutely think that there's a real component.
So can't you kind of see that on the field? I mean, I thought Utah, I was so, first of all, I loved that Kyle Whittingham went for two.
Yes.
I thought, dude, that is so ballsy.
You were wearing out. You're the lesser talented team. You're like, screw it. We're going to win it. We're going to, or lose it right here.
But holy crap, did they deserve to win that game?
Yes.
I mean, you look at that game and go, God, Utah.
With a backup quarterback too.
Right. And USC just makes mistake after mistake after mistake, and then they pull it out. It almost makes me sick. I'm like, man, I wanted so bad for Utah to win that game.
I think sometimes when you're playing with an uber talented team, I think it's hard to convince them that the little things matter.
Right.
I just think that there is a confidence, there's a swagger when you're dealing with four and five star kids that know what they're capable of doing. I think it's harder to get them to pay attention to the little things. Absolutely.
So if Whittingham goes to USC. Just use that as an example. Let's say he goes there. His teams aren't as tight because of the caliber of player he's getting. Because his teams, I mean, they're not always great.
Yep.
And certainly have their offensive issues, and they've had some quarterback issues. But my God, they are tough to beat because they're just so sound.
Well, I think there are coaches that are better than others at conveying that. I be interested to see if a Kyle Whittingham team, you know, would be mistake prone like that at USC. But I remember, I don't think I'm talking out of school. I've talked with Wilcox about this a couple of times, that when he was the coach at USC, that there was a Justin is a very detail oriented guy. And yet there was a real element that when he got to USC, one of the problems,
that's a great example.
One of the problems with his defenses was breakdowns and penalties and blown coverages. And that is a guy that is as detail oriented in his assignments as you're going to find. But I do think that getting through to some of those kids that have a preconceived notion on how to do it. I think that's a real thing at a school like USC.
It's quite noticeable. So Clemson loses, Washington loses, Washington State loses, and Auburn loses. It's starting to get funky.
Well, and it could end up being the year that maybe we get a two-loss team that does enter into the conversation as far as the college football playoff goes. But, you know, the mulligan for a lot of these teams is gone now, certainly for Clemson, right? Washington.
Yeah.
There's
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma's gone.
Ohio State.
You know, they're just – and
This is going to be good, dude. You can just feel it. Can't you just feel it?
We may end up with, because a lot of these teams that are undefeated still, you know, have stuff to play each other, and there's still a lot of football left to go. We're halfway through the year, and you've already got a kind of a lot of the favorites that we had determined were going to be there now sitting there with a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it looks like it's going to be good is that, I mean, it just kind of feels like it could shape up to be one of those where you got seven or eight teams vying for four spots.
Yeah.
Right. Because you've got multiple teams. You got three teams out of the Big Ten that could be right there. Again, not saying they will be, but it's pointing that direction that Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State will all be right there. Now, of course, there's a championship game and this will all play itself out, but it depends on who wins, you know, and Alabama's undefeated and Georgia's undefeated. So you got two teams from the SEC. You've got at least two from the Big 12. If you don't want to include Oklahoma State, you've got Oklahoma and TCU there. And then who wins the Pac-12?
Which is why I don't buy that anyone is out of it. If you've got one loss and you are a conference champion, you are right there. So anyone saying that Washington State or USC is no longer in the playoff hunt, I think that's hogwash.
No, they are, but it could be a muddled playoff hunt.
Yes, it could.
It could be interesting. I mean, you got to get style points.
Yes.
You know?
You got to win. You got to win big. And you also need your competition to win. Believe it or not, if you're Washington, you need Stanford and you need Washington State and you need USC. You need those guys to win every single week except for the week that they play you.
Well, and two, the other thing, I didn't even mention the ACC, but you still have Clemson, who is still in it, and Miami's undefeated. And then Notre Dame is looking pretty good. They're 5-1. So this, you know, it likely will all shake itself out like it always does. But I don't know. There's a lot of really good teams, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference between them, right?
But there does seem to be this belief that it's Alabama and everyone else.
Maybe.
And we'll see. But we thought that last year, and then little old Clemson came along and got them in the end.
One other note. Did you watch the Red River shootout?
Bits and pieces of it.
Oh God, that game was so good.
But I did not get to see the vast majority
that
of it.
That game
was 29-24, right?
Yeah, that game every year is, I don't know what it is about the game. It is dynamite. I love watching that game. And that thing, so that the Oklahoma Texas game and the USC Utah game, they were freaking war.
Yeah.
I mean, just brutal hits. Brutal collisions. I mean, it was bad.
And I feel bad.
You saw you didn't watch it. So at the end of the Texas-Oklahoma game, they showed a shot of both sidelines. I mean, it was like, it was the battered. I mean, they were all just like.
USC-Utah was like that.
Beat up.
That was a physical game. And I feel bad for Utah because I think if Utah has Huntley, if they have their starting quarterback, I think Utah's undefeated. I think Utah would have beat Stanford and they would have beat USC.
Best player in the country to watch.
Bryce Love.
No.
Dude.
Not to me.
He's
great.
Filthy.
No, I'm not saying he's good.
He's Le'Veon Bell jump cut, but with better speed.
Best player to watch.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. That guy is such a blast.
Yeah.
And he's got to be in like soccer player shape. He runs around like Fran Tarkenton every play.
He's a better, more controlled version of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. He's fun to watch. If you haven't watched him, he's the quarterback at Oklahoma. Okay. Let's recap the NFL weekend. Two big upsets in the NFL, too. Next, here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the NFL this weekend, we were talking about all the upsets in college. Well, you had two of the bigger upsets in the NFL, too.
Yeah, who would have thought the Giants knock off the winless Giants knock off the Broncos?
God, I know. And then the Dolphins went into Atlanta and they were down 17-0 and they won 20-17.
Jay Cutler was like 1-33 in his career when trailing by 17 points or more, and they come back and beat the Falcons, who we thought maybe one of the two best teams in the NFC, and that happens.
Here's a text, Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. You know, I'm rarely good at predictions, but at 5 p.m. on Sunday, after all the upsets, weird comebacks, Rodgers getting hurt, I just knew deep down the Giants would win by 10. It did feel like that kind of week.
It's just going to be that sort of run here.
Well,
and
he
NFL.
Mentioned the comebacks. That Lions-Saints game was nuts.
Yeah, and they ended up, laying 50 on them?
It was 52-38, but the Lions were down 45-10, and they pulled within 7.
Yeah, and then the Saints were able to seal it up with one in the fourth quarter. But yeah, I mean, it was.
Well, you know how they got the one. Did you watch that game?
Yeah.
That game was freaking.
Well, NFL red zone.
Oh, okay. See, I was watching that one.
Did you focus on that one?
Well, yeah. To me, the early games, there wasn't all that much coming down to the wire. The Patriots, Jets, I kept an eye on. But that one, once I saw that the score, it was 45-10. I'm like, oh, God. And then it's 45-38,
I think it was.
No, I caught it way before then. I was like, you know, this is the type of game that the Saints will let them back in it. You know, it's like this weird Superdome type game. And sure enough, Detroit, all of a sudden, they show a highlight on another game, and it's like a pick six or something. And I'm like, holy crap, the Lions are going to come back. So I started watching that game, and they got within seven.
Yeah, it was 45-38.
And they forced the Saints to punt. There's about 5 minutes left. The freaking – dude, they were down 35 points. That's – I mean, don't we talk about that Bills comeback?
Yeah, the Bills comeback. Frank Reich.
And how many points was that?
30-something.
We almost saw two of them this week, too. Don't forget about
– No, I know. We'll get to that. But this would have been one of the biggest comebacks in NFL history, if not the biggest.
Yeah.
So they forced the Saints to punt, and luckily they get it down at the one-yard line.
Yeah.
So Stafford, then this is the exact same way that the Lions just scored their last touchdown to pull within seven. Yeah, the Saints were on the 1 yard line,
and the defensive
and
lineman,
Drew Brees threw a ball directly into the defensive lineman's hands. Who? What a great play by that
Evans
guy
with 91 Robinson. That you will not find a better defensive play to highball that, the high point that thing, and for a big defensive lineman with his busted up hands to make that play.
He picks it right out of the air.
Yeah, and then
from
Saints,
1 yard out,
and then the Saints return the favor.
And so then the Saints or the Lions get down on the 1 yard line, and they did the exact same thing where he threw a ball that was tipped. The Saints catch it and run it into the end zone, and they're up 52-38.
The Lions one wasn't tipped, though. At least this one was tipped at the line of scrimmage, and the guy was able to grab it. The one that Robinson had for the Lions,
he just picked it right out of the air.
He just went and made the grab.
That game was nuts. And as Mike said, the Bucs were down 31-0.
And with no Jameis Winston.
And they, if they were smarter about their two-point conversion attempts.
The whole game, they kept chasing points. I know. Came back to bite him in the ass.
It did, because they could have got within three. They should have been within 38-35, but they kept just trying to get the touchdown and 2 point. If they were just, they were so far behind, there is something to be said for when you're that far behind and you're catching up, much like the Lions did, just kick the extra points.
Yeah.
Because you need so many more scores anyway. Wait till you absolutely have to have the two.
But it ended up being 38-33, and they left a handful of points on the board. Did they go for three of them and not get them?
I think they went for three. And they might have missed an extra point, too. But they came all the way back. The final score of that game was 38-33.
With Fitzpatrick, because Winston left early on and with a bum shoulder.
It was a wild weekend. But, you know, in the NFC without Rodgers, because we thought maybe Green Bay was one of the best teams in the NFC, you look at that that conference, it is so wide open. Like, you could make the case right now that the two best teams in the NFC are the Eagles and the Rams.
Yeah. And then even you look around football, right? Like Kansas City, we thought Kansas City was the best team in football. Kansas City got knocked off by Pittsburgh. So everyone that was willing to write off Pittsburgh after that horrific week they had, Pittsburgh comes back, plays great, knocks off the Chiefs.
What'd you think of Reed not going for the field goal?
Yeah.
On the four.
It was interesting. You know?
So they were down 12-3. I forget how much time was left.
I think there was 5 or 6 minutes left, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and so he elects to go for it on 4th and goal from the 4.
Yeah.
Instead of get down 12-6.
My thing is, though, if your defense had been playing well, I mean, it's not like you were completely inept and Pittsburgh was just driving the ball on you, but I understand an element of, you know, this is going to be our best opportunity, right? And you leave it to chance. And so I don't have a problem with coaches being aggressive like that. I think far too often we kill guys for it. For being aggressive, but I kind of like the fact that Andy Reid said, look, I'm going to put it in my offense's hands. My offense has been good all year. I've got, you know, one play here from the 4 yard line, and we're going to win it or lose it right here. Plus, because your defense had been playing pretty well, there was the thought of even if we don't get it here, right, we force a 3-and-out, we still end up with good field position. And now I'm going to give my offense another chance to go down and, you know, we need a touchdown to win. So I don't necessarily have a problem with what Andy Reid did.
Yeah. It's just like, managers in baseball, like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If it doesn't work out, they're gonna rail you for it. It's just that Andy Reid's clock management and game management has been questioned in the past.
And then the other one,
he said about it. He just said, "Hey, look, I go with my gut, and my gut told me go for it there." So,
and then you look at New England, who we all thought going into the year was by far the best team, and New England's got real problems.
Yeah, their defense sucks.
They don't look good at all.
If the Jets were any good, they would have won.
Yes, it's the Jets, and the Jets suck, but. They were in that thing to the end, and they got one of the more bizarre calls you'll ever find, and that's the weird was it a fumble and touchback?
What did you think of that?
It, to me, it looked like he had the ball. I think that's a touchdown.
I thought so too.
Didn't make any sense to me.
Matter of fact, I turned away when I came back. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that didn't
score. It's 24-14 still?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, watching the replay, the ball does come loose. And as he crosses the end zone and into the out-of-bounds area, he regathers it out of bounds.
And that's what they're saying.
So they're saying that that's the letter of the law.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess it's a correct call, but I feel like you can't call that because he really never lost possession. It was he just, like, slightly moved in his arms, and then it was back in his arms
I don't think
again.
He ever fumbled, but the NFL came out today. They doubled down on the NFL, said, nope, this is the correct call. And
well, I see what they're saying. They're saying that he fumbled it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. If it's a fumble, you can't recover it out of bounds.
Yes.
So once it went out of bounds, it's Patriots ball touchback.
Yeah.
But even though he was able to resecure it.
Oh, it was.
That's weird. That's a weird one.
It was a weird play. I've never seen one quite like that.
No, that may be one they might have to. Can you put in a rule about that?
You put in a rule about everything else. Why not this one? Although I guess by the letter of the law, I guess that's a touchback. I just never thought he really fumbled. I never thought he really lost possession of it.
I didn't either.
It was weird.
Hey, and how about this? One last NFL note, at least from me. The touchdown dances are ramping up.
Yeah.
It's getting good.
Some of the choreographed ones are...
What were the Steelers doing there?
I don't know what that thing was.
On the Brown touchdown.
It was some sort of weird... No,
it was a two-man thing.
It started with one, and then the other guy.
He tossed it.
Yeah, it was like some sort of weird
crotch chopping.
They confuse and frighten me. The best one I've seen so far is still the Duck Duck Goose one.
Yeah, that was good.
I think it was the Vikings that did that.
Are they kind of being a little bit more lenient now and letting guys?
Well, you're allowed to have group celebrations, and you used to not be able to do that.
Yeah, they changed the rule back this year for the most part.
Yeah, so I knew they did, but it just seemed like...
As long as it's not taunting and you still can't use the goalpost because, who was it? I think Bell got flagged.
For punching the goalpost.
Yeah, you can't punch the goalpost. So
well, who was the Viking that dunked? And you can't dunk.
Yeah, you can dunk.
No, you can. They came back and they clarified. They said you can dunk, but you can't touch the goalpost.
Yes.
Because the goalpost was still wavering.
So if you touch the goalpost, you get a flag. So Le'Veon Bell got a flag for like heavy bagging it. And as long as you're not taunting or sexually gyrating,
right,
then you're fine.
And so the players have kind of gotten a little creative. I thought the best one of the weekend was the Saints guy. I think it was Melvin Ingram. Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
You didn't see this one?
I didn't see his.
He did the you know the Saturday Night Live backpack kid on the Katy Perry bit that came out and did swinging arms thing?
Yeah.
I don't know what they call that. He did that.
Did he?
And it was pretty good.
Golden Tate dropped the people's elbow.
I didn't see that
one. He did the rock. And the best part about
was that the one he dove into he flipped into the end zone?
No. I think there was the one over in the corner.
I guarantee you, somebody's going to get hurt doing that. Some of these NFL receivers.
Doing the somersault.
There's nobody, all they got to do is just run into the end zone.
Yeah, they somersault.
And they somersault in.
Golden Tate dropped the people's elbow, like the old WWE rock. And the best part is when he did it, the ball bounced right up into his arm. It's kind of impressive.
So you thinking he did that on purpose?
No.
He got super lucky?
He got super lucky that the people's elbow led to the ball bouncing into him.
All right. 5:48. We'll wrap it up with this nugget. How about this nugget? A mention that the NBA in Trailblazer season begins this week.
No CJ McCollum, though.
That will be next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, just a couple minutes left, and we're going to move on to some real important matters, like why more women are cheating on their husbands.
The important stuff, but not Mike Lynch's wife.
Never. She would never cheat on him.
Literally never.
Ever.
Literally ever.
Ever, ever, never, ever, ever. Values.
He's so naive.
Poor Mike.
The Blazers are opening this week.
Yes.
Bro.
Well, how exciting is that?
The entire NBA season is opening this week.
Well, that's true, but, you know, for the sake of our audience, I mean, do you think they really care about that? They care about the Blazers.
Yeah, no CJ McCollum for the opener, though. He got suspended for the preseason kerfuffle there where he left the bench.
Not breaking news, dude. Yeah, he if you didn't see it, he got suspended for the – it was in the Suns preseason game, not the one against whoever they play.
Yeah, they played like an Israeli team or something.
Why do they play that team?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
Some sort of barnstorming tour. I don't know.
Anywho, last Wednesday, they were playing the Suns, and there was a little dust up with Swanigan and somebody else. And CJ, he was at the end of the bench, and he just kind of walked out onto the court. It wasn't bad.
No.
Like, it was not.
He didn't run out there.
And then he stopped.
Yeah. He realized it, but the rule is if you leave the bench, you know, you're going to get suspended. Although I didn't like the fact that they suspended him for a regular season game.
Yeah, he was saying they should have suspended him for the Israel game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a preseason.
And he would have been like, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's a preseason foul. Why not have it be a preseason penalty?
I don't know. It's kind of a bogus suspension, but whatever. It's one game. Yeah. So they'll be without CJ on Wednesday when they open against the Phoenix Suns.
Yes, who this whole thing started against.
And that game is down there, right?
Yeah, I think it's in Phoenix.
I think that's a road game. But anyway, the Blazers this year, who knows where they are in the West? It's a jumbled conference.
I was reading a couple of the national writers there, and they've looked real good in the preseason, and there seems to be some growing momentum that Portland will be better than people thought going into it. I think there was this thought that they would struggle to make the postseason, but I've read a couple people that think that Portland could be a solid maybe 5 seed in the West.
Well, they could be better, yeah. But the way they're going to get better is, one, they're going to keep everyone healthy, including Nurkic, and two, they need to play defense.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they have committed to that. Well, you know, it's a lot of big talk in the preseason. It's preseason. Like, you can't take anything away from preseason. Literally nothing. But it does sound like they are approaching the season like they know they have to get better defensively. And I loved what Nurkic said. Nurkic said he said their defense was trash last year. I was like, damn, good for you for saying that, because I sit there and say it and it's like it just runs off into the stratosphere. I'm glad that he called them out on it. And he said, we need to be more like the Bad Boys. He invoked the old Pistons Bad Boys. Now, the Blazers are a pretty soft team, and they're not good defensively. So it's kind of, I mean, you kind of chuckle when you hear the Bad Boy thing. But when teams get better defensively, there always has to be the one guy who is that type of guy who kind of rallies the team defensively, and maybe that's Nurkic. I loved hearing him say
that. Tyson Chandler did that. Remember when he went to Dallas, and Dallas could score, and Dallas was a horrific offensive team. They brought in Tyson Chandler, and he was that guy that kind of changed it. And they were not an elite defensive team, but they got significantly better, and that was enough to get Dallas over the top, and they won a championship. Now, I'm not saying that Nurk is that guy or important. You win a title, but you know, they were much better with him on the floor, and he was 300 pounds out of shape.
Much better defensively.
Yes, and if you look at some of the preseason stuff, that they are a much better team with him in the middle, and he is a difference maker. And supposedly, CJ and Dame are both committed to playing it on a more consistent basis, and neither one of those guys is going to be a great defensive player. But if you get a better effort, and then you look at some of the other guys that you have to throw in there, maybe this will be an upper half. It doesn't need to be a top five, but if you can be a top 15 defensive team, I think that goes a long way for this Blazers squad.
Yeah, they've got to, they have to be, because otherwise the West is too tough. So I just think it's always good that you need that defensive catalyst. You need that guy who is that sort of junkyard dog type of mentality. And that's Nurkic. And holy crap, he came out and said it. I love it.
It's just scary because he has had a history of injury problems, and we know here in Portland with big guys. And
that's
so
true.
Just someone throw up a prayer for that guy to stay healthy.
The other thing about him is he could very easily be only focused on his offensive output because he's in a contract year, and those guys don't get paid on their defensive numbers. They get paid on their offensive numbers. So I think it's commendable that he has come out already and said he could be all about himself this year and just put up big numbers and get his big fat contract. But he's not. He's saying, man, I like this team. I like it here. I like these guys. And I'm going to rally them to play better defense. And if that happens, I think they can get into that 5-6 range.
And they'll reward him. This is a place here that if he is that guy, and let's say he averages 14-10, but is a guy that plays that sort of that role that you're talking about, Portland will reward him handsomely.
Oh, one other handsomely. They're going to touch him?
Handsomely.
Oh, I thought you said,
maybe that too. I don't know.
Handsily. I want to reward someone handsily.
Is he into that sort of thing? I think we can do that here.
No, we cannot do that.
Oh, we can't?
No.
Oh.
One other local sports note before we move on.
That maybe go down to Diablo or something, no?
I've been Hansley in there.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, the place is great.
The other side of the wall.
The Thorns champions.
Yes!
The Thorns won.
Your Thorns.
My Portland Thorns.
Did you watch?
No.
At all?
Yeah.
You forgot it was on, didn't you?
No, I didn't. You know why I watched? Part of it is because they were, I went to the gym and I was going to watch the Oklahoma-Texas game on the, while I ran on the treadmill.
While you stairmastered?
And so you know how you get on the treadmill and it's like they get, they pull up the TV on there and yeah, then you got to fight through all, I don't know the TV channels. They're weird channels. Like, ah, where's the game? I got to find. And then I was scrolling through and there's the soccer game. I'm like, oh crap, I forgot the my gals were on.
How long did you watch?
Oh, 5-10 seconds.
Okay. But you did see some of it.
They look good.
All right, go Thorns.
They won it.
Your champion of whatever league.
NWSL. Yeah, NWSL. They
soccer
won it.
Champs.
They won
yeah
it again. This is the second time.
Woohoo!
And their party was great. Thanks for inviting me, ladies.
Yeah. Where's the love?
Oh, no, I was there.
Rob's been supporting you the entire time. Oh, you got to go?
Yeah, I was there. I was just thanking him for...
Oh, I thought that was a sarcastic thank you.
Not at all.
We should really break.
We had a great time. And the Thorns beat the Courage for the championship.
Well, the Courage lacked courage.
Yeah, they really did. Like
sad.
You.
That's true.
Hey, the real reason more women are cheating on their husbands.
I think we should break.
Why do you always whisper that?
We're a bit long.
So what?
I do want to hear why.
Literally never stopped you in the past.
Yeah, like why do you sometimes you care and 99% of the time you don't.
Well, this is pretty bad. I mean, there's sometimes we're over.
Do you have to go poop?
And then there's this. No, but we're.
This is not that bad, Sue.
It's not that bad.
Really?
You're 4.5 minutes over.
And you're making me want to just keep it going.
Well, I say let's keep it going. Let's get right into it.
You realize that last time you broke at like 48, which is way longer than this time.
Okay, well, then I don't feel so bad anymore. Screw it. Tell me why Mike's wife's going to cheat on him.
That'll be next.
Okay.
On The Fan.
Sorry, Mike.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.